Okay, good evening, everyone. like to continue now with some additional halachas of buses. Buses, again, is the concept that if something is muktzah, something which is muktzah is on top of a surface or a table, a chair or something which is not muktzah, but if the muktzah was sitting there the entire Bein HaShemashas when Shabbos began, then the base underneath it becomes muktzah for that Shabbos, and it takes on the status of the muktzah that's on top of it, which means that even if the muktzah somehow comes off, even if someone, a child or a non-Jew or somehow the muktzah just falls off on Shabbos, but the base remains muktzah for the entire Shabbos. So what I want to first, I want to clarify that we've discussed different levels of muktzah. We've basically two basic levels. One level where something is muksa entirely, muksa machpas gufo, where you're not allowed to move it for any purpose, not even if you need the space, or not even if you want to use the item for some permissible function. Nevertheless, you can't move it. That's something like money or a rock, something that's not a keli. And we also discussed, though, kli shemlachto leser, a hammer or a saw or other types of tools which are kalim. And there's just that their main function is for Isser. So the halacha with them is that you're allowed to, they are a form of muksa, but you're allowed to move them for their, if you need to use the keli itself or if you need to use the space. So there's a question, there's a shaila in the poskim, whether a kli shemlachto Isser also has the power to make a buses. Meaning if you, everyone agrees that if you left money or if you left a stone or if you left anything else that's not a keli on a bus is on a table or on some sort of surface, then everyone agrees that that surface becomes muksa for the rest of Shabbos. But if you, what if you left though a kli shemlachto le'iser? If you left a hammer or that type of item on a buses, on a base, does that get the din of a buses or not? That's a machlokas poskim. Now, the reason to perhaps suggest that it doesn't is that some view kli shemlachto iser, that's not really muktzah per se. It's a separate iser tiltel. You're not allowed to move it, but it's not muktzah per se. We'll leave it at that. But so in truth, the Mishnah Berurah does not make any distinction. We learn the Mishnah Berurah, he does not mention the view in poskim that holds that a kli shemlachto iser does not make a bus. So I think the assumption one would have when learning Mishnah Berurah would assume that the kli shemlachto iser could make something a bus like any other form of muksa, since he doesn't distinguish. And so lemaisa, it is recommended to conduct oneself that way, that the buses, the thing that's holding the kli shemlachto iser, also becomes, gets the status of muksa of buses. However, it's not worse than the thing itself. Meaning, just like you could move the kli itself, letzarech makomo, if the hammer is sitting on your dining room table, taking up needed space, you're allowed to move it. Or if it's sitting on your pillow and you want to put your head down in your pillow, you're allowed to move it. So the buses is no worse. Meaning, if the kli shemlachto le'iser was left on a stool or something, and was left there entire Bein HaShemashas, left there intentionally, so it makes it a busis, according to this more stringent opinion, it makes it a busis. But you need the space that the stool is occupying, so you're allowed to move it, because the stool can't be more strict. It can't have a more strict halach or status than the thing that made it muksa. So the thing that made it muksa, you could move if you needed the space. So if you need the space of the stool of the buses, you can move that as well. Or if somehow you needed that buses, you needed it to serve kufo, you needed it to serve some function in the house, you needed to lift it to use it for something, you could move it as well, let's serve kufo. Okay, now there's another discussion. We have we did say, and I just alluded to it a moment ago, that something only becomes a busis if the muksa was left there intentionally. But if it was placed there, let's say, in the middle of the week and forgotten, and you really would have taken it off before Shabbos, but you forgot about it, it doesn't become a busis. So I should mention, first of all, as a question, if that applies even on Friday. If you put something down on Friday and you didn't specifically, and you didn't take it away, you didn't specifically plan to take it away, there, some hold it is a busis, because Friday, you're already, that's the time we're in preparation for Shabbos mode. If at that point you put something down, so it makes it a busis. But what I wanted to get to is as follows. Let's say something was placed somewhere in the general area intentionally, but it wasn't specifically placed on a certain item. For example, let's say in the freezer. There are various items in the freezer, food items that are muksa, because they're not usable at all on Shabbos. Raw food, let's say. Some people keep raw grains in the freezer. One reason is to keep them free of bugs, of talam, which is not a bad idea, to keep it refrigerated in the freezer. So let's say a person, a bag or a container of raw grain, which can't be eaten raw, needs to be cooked or baked, is muksa on Shabbos. So if you would intentionally place it in your freezer on top of a different item, then that item would become muksa. Well, let's say you have a box, and in the box, you're packing different items, you're storing different items. If you intentionally put a muksa item on a non-muksa item, leave it there, then the non-muksa item becomes a busis. Besides that, the box itself is a busis if the muksa is more valuable. But the item underneath it, which is specifically holding the muksa item, is also a busis. You couldn't pick up that item. But let's say you didn't specifically put it, you didn't want it to be davka on that item. You wanted to put it in the box. You wanted to put it in the freezer, and there isn't enough room on the floor of the freezer or on the floor of the box for everything, so you stack things up. So you happen to have stacked the muksa on top of something non-muksa, not because you want it specifically on that, but you just wanted it in the box or in the freezer, and that was the convenient place for it. So that's another shayla in the poskim, a shayla which the Mishpura does discuss. And it seems that there are many mekilim there, many that are lenient and say that the bottom thing does not become a busis. That's not called intentional. Even though you sort of intentionally left it there, you definitely intentionally left it in that general area, but you didn't mean to take it off before Shabbat. You had no plans of taking it off before Shabbat. Let's say you left this bag, a bag of raw grain on top of a container of ice cream. Part of ice cream, and you want to use the ice cream for Shabbos. Now, you had no intention of taking the bag off before Shabbos. You put it there on whenever you put it, when you put it away, because that's where it was conveniently stored. But on the other hand, you never specifically wanted it on the ice cream. You wanted it in the freezer, and the ice cream provided a convenient surface. So, as we said, that's a machlokas. Does that ice cream become muksa? And it says that the Mishnah Berurah says that if one could be machmer in this, meaning if it's something you don't need, then don't just randomly take it. But if there's a tzorich, you could. If there's a tzorich for it, you were planning, you would like to serve this ice cream for dessert, and you don't have another. If you have two containers of ice cream back to back, so take the other one. The other one doesn't have grain on it. Take the other one. Avoid moving the one with the muksa on it. But if you don't have a choice, meaning you don't have another container of ice cream and you do wish to serve ice cream or to eat ice cream, then you'd be allowed to take it. And the way you take it, though, is just tilt it so that the bag of grains falls off onto the floor of the freezer or onto the next item, whatever it may be, hopefully something you don't eat on Shabbos, and then take the ice cream. And in general, whenever you want to move something which has muktzah on it, But the thing you want, the base is, in the case where the base is not a busis, either because it was unintentional placement or placement by somebody who had no authority to place it there, or that if the base is supporting more than just the muksa and the non-muksa items are more valuable. In any case like that, if you want to move the base, it's if possible, you should tilt off the muksa. I mentioned this last week also. You should tilt off the muksa if possible, assuming the muksa is not something that's going to break or get lost or ruined. Now, so based on that, there's a halacha. Let's say you have a drawer in the kitchen, and the drawer is something you like to go to on Shabbos. You have silverware in the drawer and other things that you need for Shabbos. But if not for Hilchas Muksa, you would also be keeping some random items there that are Muksa. Maybe they're kitchen items, but kitchen items which are not usable on Shabbos. Or maybe not even kitchen items, but it could be the drawer is sort of a collection drawer or a cleanup drawer. When you're cleaning up the kitchen, this is where you place everything. And you leave it there and no intention to move it out. It's not bothering anybody. Just let it stay in that drawer. So that's not a preferred situation for Shabbos, because even if the muksa is much more valuable, I'm sorry, the non-muksa, even if the non-muksa is much more valuable and the drawer therefore does not obtain a status of basis, but every time you open the drawer, you're moving the muksa, kilachayat, you're moving it indirectly. And you're not supposed to do that, l'chadchila. In fact, like I just said, if you want to move the base of muksa when it's not a basis and you're allowed to move the base, but if you can, you have to tilt out the muksa first. So now with the drawer, it's very possible you're not going to be able to tilt it out because when you're just pulling the drawer in and out, you know, there's no room for tilting. But you could tilt it, quote unquote, tilt it before Shabbos, meaning you could remove it before Shabbos. You don't have to leave the muksa there. If you think about it, if you plan, you know you could remove the muksa before Shabbos. So you should do that. You should not leave muksa in a drawer which you're planning on going to on Shabbos, even if the muksa won't make the drawer muksa because there's non-muksa things there that are more valuable. But if it's a drawer that you anticipate going to on Shabbos or that you want to have the ability to go there on Shabbos, the proper thing is to clean it out of muksa before Shabbos, not to leave muksa items in a drawer that you plan on going to on Shabbos so that you don't have to end up moving them kalachiyad whenever you need the non-muksa. Okay, we'll pause with that. Have a good night. All the best. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Rabbi.